Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, yeah. I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just, I couldn't quit.
Now on to the show. On the show today, we have TransUnion's very own Chad Glough. He is here to talk to us about the silent threat, synthetic fraud, that is, and why legacy fraud prevention isn't working against synthetic fraud. So he's here to tell us all about that. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have TransUnion's very own Chad Glough. Chad, how are you, sir? Good to see you.
Great. Thanks for having me. Really looking forward to the discussion tonight.
Me too. It's we're talking today about synthetic fraud. They call it the silent threat. So we'll find out all about that. And also why legacy fraud prevention isn't working against synthetic fraud today. Because yeah, it's kind of rampant out there right now, as Chad will tell us about. But to set the stage here, Chad, just real quickly here, give us a quick reminder on what exactly synthetic fraud is out there.
Sure. Yeah. So synthetic fraud is a very specific form of fraud where a fraudster will take up either real identity attributes or made up identity attributes, kind of mix and match them to create a new identity. And then what they will do is simply start applying for credit. And they will go in various ways and avenues to apply for credit. Probably the most common theme we see is being added as an authorized user to an account. Right. So if I've got a credit card, we refer to those as reader accounts, right? Where it'll be an actual credit card account, might have 50, 100, 200 authorized users. And what you're able to do when you do that is you start building a credit profile, right? You might not have access to the card at all, but your name is tied to that credit card, allows you to establish a real credit profile. And then you can start applying for credit in your own name. Okay. The idea of building a credit profile, building a credit score, accessing more and more credit until you get to the point where you're satisfied with the amount of the credit that you have, and then you bust out.
Really?
Pay for anything, and you are you're next to impossible to find, because what you've created is a ghost, right? It's something that does not exist except on paper, and unfortunately, oftentimes in our financial institution, credit union accounts.
So how prevalent is this out there today? Because I'm reading in the background information that you guys sent over, between 10 and 15% of credit losses now are attributed to synthetic fraud. So that's a pretty significant number out there right now. So how prevalent? Obviously, it sounds like it's pretty prevalent based on those numbers.
It is. And it's really difficult to quantify, Michael. That's the hardest part about it.
Because it's a ghost, right? You said
it's a ghost, right? Yeah. And unfortunately, if these guys would agree to come on shows like this and talk to us about how they're doing it, we'd have much better numbers. But the profiles don't look the same. They're very difficult to track. So really kind of, firms like mine and others out there in the identity and fraud landscape, it's trying to put our best guess on how it's happening. We're thinking that there's probably a couple of million profiles that have been built.
Wow.
And losses are all over the board.
Yeah.
It surely depends on who you talk to. I think a number that we're really comfortable with, though, is like getting close to like $5 billion a year
in Good losses. Grief.
Yeah, billion with a B. It's scary. It really, truly is.
Okay, that's truly prevalent. when you're talking billions, that's prevalent. So you alluded to it in your previous response, though, but why is it so difficult to stop? And you use the term ghost, and that's kind of another reason why it's hard to stop. So tell us the reasons why it's so hard to stop, especially for a credit union, and even maybe a small to mid-sized credit union who may not have the resources to kind of keep this stuff at bay. I mean, give us the challenge here.
Sure. And I think you mentioned something in your kind of intro that's incredibly important is legacy systems were not set up or designed to catch this type of fraud. In the early days of kind of KYC, your customer regs that came out, it was, we'll put some input data in, we'll match it against a trusted database. It could be a credit bureau database, it could be DMV records, whatever it would happen to be. And if that identity exists, okay, we feel good that that's a real person we're going to pass
mm-hmm,
it through.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the way that these identities are created, they live in those databases, right? So when TransUnion sees a credit inquiry come in from somebody new based on FCR regulations, we have to open a credit profile, right? We have to say, okay, this is somebody new that we have not seen. We're going to open this credit profile. That then means that that particular identity exists, right? It's out there in the world. It's out there in the wild. And as you continue to build credit, if you are, you know, kind of midway down a synthetic fraudster's plan, when I show up and knock on the credit union door and I want to become a new member, I've got a great credit history. I've got a good credit score. I might even be, you know, findable in public public records databases out there. And there's and unfortunately, these guys just keep getting better and better. Right? There's certainly varying degrees. Synthetic identity fraud. You've got kind of the amateurs that might just want to take a credit union or a bank for a couple $1,000s and they're fine with that. You've got other folks that have built networks of these identities and they build identities off of identities. And we've kind of whiteboarded some of these things that we've been able to find in the research that we do at the TransUnion. And it's scary. It really truly is. And we've seen cases when the Department of Justice has found people that have had, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of active live synthetic identities that they've got access to, you know, millions upon millions of dollars. And it could just be one person sitting in a basement somewhere putting that type of information together.
Oh, that's it's just so... At one point, it's so creative, you kind of have to respect it. But on the other side, it's like, come on! You know, it's just so scary. It's so scary out there. So
yeah, and it's disappointing when you see the folks that that you know are perpetrating this fraud, the skill level that they have, the technical capacity that they have, and you just want to say, you could go get a job anywhere with the skill set that you have and do really well for yourself. It's just a shame that the decision is made that it's easier to commit fraud than it is to kind of make it a real decent one.
Well, it's probably a thrill for them too. You know, there's probably a little bit of an adrenaline high you get as well. Hey, before we get into like some of the protection and how do you protect yourself against synthetic fraud, tell me what is I was reading the background material here and this term kind of popped out of my brain, bust out. What is a bust out? Should we know that, or is that something?
Sure. No, we can we can quickly go through it. It's not a super complex theory, but so synthetic fraudsters that I talked as they are kind of building that credit landscape, right? They're taking more and more credit out. They are increasing their credit lines based on the payment history. They get to a point where, okay, I've paid enough, right? And they won't pay for a while. They'll actually look like a good customer for a while. They'll make a minimum payment on a credit card for 6, 8, 10, 12 months. When they get to the point where they feel like they've accessed enough credit, that's when the bust out occurs. And the bust out is, I'm simply not paying anything anymore. I've generally fully ramped my credit card balance. In most cases, I've gone over my limits. Oftentimes, we'll see with some of the synthetic fraudsters, and this is still shocking, that they've taken out an auto loan. So they've gone into a dealership, and this is one of the things that's really difficult too. We've thought, you know, for years, all fraudsters, they like to hide behind the computer. Not necessarily. They are so confident in these identities, they will go sit in a dealership for, you know, 2 or 3 hours, you know how long it takes to buy a car and take out a car loan. And we'll see that kind of on the tail end of synthetic behavior. So now we've got maxed out credit cards, we've got auto loans, and we'll get to the point where they just stop paying, and you won't see them again. They'll never show up again. And they'll move on to the next identity that they've built and start the same process over and over and over.
Wow. And
it makes it just incredibly difficult to catch and to prosecute.
Well, thankfully, there's folks like you guys out there that are helping. Thank you. Yes. Wicked, I'm of the mind that you can never have too much of this stuff. So of the protection stuff, that is. So that said, can you share with us some, you know, maybe some ways to effectively protect against synthetic fraud that maybe, you know, I mean, I know there's some other financial institutions that might be doing some cool stuff, but share with us maybe a couple of tips or tricks here that credit unions can implement.
Sure. And this is kind of the exciting part of this. The last several years, there's been tools that have been, utilized here that are specific to catching synthetic identity fraud, right? We never really had that in the marketplace. Now, Michael, there'd be nothing better than I'd love to come on and tell you, hey, we have the silver bullet. Like, we can solve it all right now. It's just not the case. So, you know, when I'm talking to our financial services customers, when I'm talking to our credit unions, it really is making sure that you've got a fraud stack set in place, right? You've got a number of different tools helping you with fraud detection. And that goes beyond just synthetic identity. Relying on tools that you might have purchased 10 years ago without upgrading those are the biggest mistakes. But there's really a combination of technology and data that we want to take a look at. And for each financial institution, it's going to be kind of their own preference and how they do that. The things that you really need to pay incredibly close attention to are obviously the PII elements that a customer is providing you with, and then also how they're interacting with you, right? For the most part, this is all going to be online. So really being able to run kind of a deep device fingerprint and making sure that the device that a potential member is using to access systems is being vetted, right? So for instance, a TransUnion, and I can kind of give you kind of how we view it, because I've got the knowledge there, is that we've got a device consortium with like 9 billion known devices, right? So when a device hits a potential a credit union website, we can in real time tell you, has that device ever been seen tagged with fraud? We've got hundreds of different, kind of data points, data sets that we're running on it. We're running proxy piercing technology. So if you've got somebody saying, hey, I live in Chicago, but my device, TransUnion now knows my device is in Eastern Europe or in Africa or in Miami, Florida or Glendale, California, that are known fraud hotbeds, we can immediately let the credit union know something doesn't look right here.
Okay.
Right? You combine that then with the PII elements by this, and we'll look at across our vast network of data and say, these PII elements, we've never seen together. They don't look right. There's something odd about the creation of this particular credit profile. And being able to let a credit union know that in real time, at time of origination, is the best way to solve this. Because I'll tell you what is incredibly difficult is once synthetic fraudsters get into your portfolio. It is very difficult to kind of tease them out from the good members, members that are transacting properly. There are some things that we can do in portfolio and some things that we can take a look at. But my message to all customers, you really got to put your budgets, you've got to put your defenses at that account origination phase. The best way to deal with synthetic identity fraud is to have fucking
is to do what again? I'm sorry, I didn't get the last part.
Yes, to not let a member through the front door. Like, don't ever let them become a member.
Is there I've heard lately about behavioral, I'm trying to think of the second part of the word, behavioral.
Biometrics.
Thank you for that. Is that another way to kind of keep these folks at bay?
Sure. So we've recently incorporated some behavioral aspects into our device risk solution. So we're able to actually monitor how a potential member is interacting on the website, right? And if you're filling out, let's say, an application for a credit card or a personal loan, we can kind of look at how they're interacting with the fields on the website and quickly be able to tell you, yes, this is like a normal person, or there's something suspicious going on here, right? So one of the things that we noticed with synthetic fraudsters specifically, and the really good ones, is they might have hundreds upon hundreds of identities that they utilize. Well, you can't keep that all in their head. So when I'm filling out a form online, I might be having to go back and forth to maybe an Excel spreadsheet I have that's got PII elements. We're able to quickly say, okay, this doesn't look right. If it's really truly Michael Lawson for a credit card, he should know his address. And he should know his date of birth, and he should know his SSN. So that's one of the the more continuous authentication features that we can provide. So you use your technology, your scores, your data up front, but then also throughout the life cycle or the journey of filling out forms and applying for membership. Online, there's some other tools that we can utilize there as well. We can give you an added layer of protection.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I find the tools just as fascinating, if not more fascinating, than what the actual fraudsters are doing. You know, I find that the tools to protect us almost as probably as fascinating as what they're doing. So it's really cool what you guys are doing out there, what's out there. So
they really are. And the good news is we have very, very smart people building these products as well. We're very, very smart fraudsters that we have to deal with. And I think, you know, the name of the game in my space, and we talk about this all the time as an industry, is, you know, is continual evolution. I could build the most incredible fraud defense today, and within 6 months, somebody's going to penetrate, right? Somebody's going to be able to get around kind of what I've set up. So not only from, you know, me kind of being in the vendor space, but certainly our end customers, including credit unions, is continually evaluating what's out there, right? Understanding, you know, your portfolio, how it's performing, you know, being able to simply separate, you know, what you think is maybe credit risk from fraud risk, because that's very, very important. Mm-hmm. And then making sure that you've got a handle on your fraud risk. And the minute that it looks like it's going to get outside of kind of the risk tolerance, that you're going back out to the market to see what you can do. Because, you know, you could have evaluated something 6 months ago, and there are, you know, 15, 20 new features and functionalities out there that might help you protect you against a fraud attack.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. This is a treadmill that you're never going to get off of, for sure.
And just, we know, Michael, like, the last thing you want to spend your money on is this fraud defense, right? Like, I want to spend marketing. I want to improve services for my members.
Exactly.
So many more important fun things.
This is not very sexy. Yeah, you're right.
No, it really isn't. Really, I always kid, like, when I'm brought into enterprise level meetings, they stick me on the back of the agenda. They make me go down to a storage room. Like, you know, it's no one wants to hear about fraud issues or hear.
Oh, here comes Chad again. Oh gosh.
Yeah. Telling us about all the things that we aren't doing and all the fraud that's rampant in our organization. Yeah, it's oftentimes not the most fun place to be.
Oh, no, you do. It's great to see people like, I mean, if it was up to me, I'd put you in the front of the room. It's great to see people like you come up there and say, hey, this is how we're stopping this stuff. So, thank you very much. I appreciate all this stuff. This is fantastic, Chad. I could talk about this all day long, as well as you could, but I know you have a job to do. But anything else to add to wrap up here? Any final thoughts here on this topic before it changes again in about 5 minutes?
Right, exactly. No, I just really, I appreciate the invite. I think it's important for folks like you that have kind of these platforms to make sure that the folks that they serve here understand the problems in the industry, and that we're all kind of working together on the good side.
Thank you for that.
And that's important. That really does help our cause quite a bit.
And it allows credit unions in this case to really kind of focus on what they do best, and that's member relationships and serving the communities and things like that, while you guys do what you do best and keep the bad guys at bay. So thank you very much for all that type of stuff. And again, we can never have too much of this stuff. So thank you for all the hard work that you guys do there at TransUnion. So yeah, we appreciate it, man. All right, Chad, I'm going to let you get going. Appreciate the time as always, sir. And look forward to the next chat.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks, Michael.
All right. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just I couldn't quit.